As we have already begun on Ash Wednesday this holy season of Lent, the sacrosanct season of penance, of conversion, of metanoia, of transformation of our lives from the doldrums to excellence, from lethargy to energy, in particular, the energy of being good Catholics, good Christians, and bringing the good news of Christ and of the Holy Trinity, the good news of the gospel to all those who do not believe, to all those who have ceased to believe, who have taken the temptations of Satan and begun to adore him in his gifts, in his seductions. It is an interesting part of the Catholic faith, and this is something that the Church has always believed and was particularly brought forth in the Second Ecumenical Council of the Vatican, in the document on missionary activity of the Church, Agentis, that we are absolutely to be missionaries. We are to share that which we have received, as St. Paul reminds us in the beautiful epistle from 2 Corinthians today. And it was brought to my memory just recently, one of the sayings of that revered priest whom many of us knew and met, one of the last great Jesuits, though I'm sure there are some now too, Father John Hardin, who wrote that beautiful catechism when there was a dearth of catechisms and started a whole missionary movement of catechism in the Church. And he said that for a Catholic, if one is not a missionary, then one should forget about going to heaven. Now, those are strong words from a person who is up for canonization. For a Catholic, if one is not a missionary, then one should forget about going to heaven. The Catholic faith is not our possession alone. The Catholic faith is for us to spread it, to give it, to preach it. And of course, first of all, we must preach it by our actions, and then by our words, and hopefully they will go one with the other. Though we should not expect to be perfect at this stage of the game, we are on the way to perfection. We are definitely a work in progress. And so we see that St. Paul reminds us not to waste the grace that we have been given. And what grace is he speaking of? Of course, all of salvation history, which is summarized here in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, from Adam and Eve, who betrayed him and us, to Abraham, Moses, and the prophets, and in the New Testament, the apostles, and the inception in modern times with St. Peter as the rock upon which it was built, of the continuation of the Israel and Jerusalem of old, which is incarnated in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith and no other. Yes, I know I'm not very ecumenical. Ecumenism means to work peacefully with those who do not believe. It does not mean to say, you're fine and where you are, you don't have to convert. And there are some who are doing this, and they will have to answer to God. Conversion is necessary. Conversion is necessary for you and me every day, much more for those who do not have the true faith and the fullness of the faith. Again, we must be missionaries. And then we have the magnificent gospel of today, which shows us exactly how we are to do this in our lives, and shows us exactly the reason for Lent, the reason for our life here on earth. Because though we will celebrate Easter in about 40 days, do not fool yourselves. For you and me, Lent is our whole life. For you and me, penance, prayer, fastings, and vigils, as St. Paul says, is our whole life. For those who think, all right, we did so wonderfully during Lent. I gave up cigarettes. I gave up chocolate. Please, do not insult Almighty God with such paltry offerings. Do you know that St. Patrick, the great St. Patrick, during Lent especially, but whenever he was to convert, to go out and missionary to others who did not believe, and in his day, perhaps it wasn't as bad as it is today. We celebrated the Feast of Saints Felicity and Perpetua this week. Saint Felicity was with child, and Roman law forbade for a woman to be executed with a child in her womb. You had to wait for the child to be born before she could be executed, and then she was. And her baby was given to a Catholic matron to take care of. Our society doesn't care. So tell me, which is more pagan? Modern-day America or Europe, or pagan Rome, which respected the life of the baby in the womb? So we are not much better off than the pagans to whom St. Patrick, the real St. Patrick, preached the gospel. And you know, he would spend the night in a tub of ice. He would sleep, or try to sleep, in a tub of ice for penance before he went to convert somebody that was difficult. The apostles asked Jesus, why did we not succeed in expelling these demons? Jesus said, this one required much prayer and fasting. So the season of Lent is supposed to be, really, our life, a little bit more exacerbated, perhaps, but not nonsensical things. They need to be things that really cut to the quick. A little bit less sleep. A lot less food. And much, much more prayer. Don't think that I do not notice that when a rosary begins every Sunday, there's a handful of persons here. And I wonder, well, is anybody showing up for Mass? And then when I turn around to say Dominus Vobiscum, the church is almost full. You can't be here for the rosary. You can't be here to honor the Holy Mother of God. You can't be here to prepare for Mass with a little bit more prayer. That is a little bit of a sacrifice that you can offer. And even that is paltry considered in the fullness of all of our life. St. Paul also said, without murmurations, elsewhere in the epistles. How oftentimes do we not complain about this, that, and the other, this one and that one, and God knows what else? Instead of accepting our crosses and our trials with patience, with charity, and hopefully with joy, that very, very little use fruit of the Holy Spirit. But there are some people that it seems that all they do is complain, complain, complain. It definitely drives us to drink and to almost lose our charity. And so therefore St. Paul exhorts us to not waste the grace that we have been given. And Christ shows us how to beat the devil, to not accept his seductions. And remembering that the devil and those who serve him can quote Scripture probably better than you and I. Just because somebody quotes Scripture does not mean that they belong to God. Are they members of the church? Are they in grace? Do they live a life worthy of a Catholic, of a Christian? Would anyone that did not know anything about them be able to deduct from what they see and hear that they are indeed good Catholics? Those are things to ponder. And you think, well, I am too busy, I have this, I have that. Our Lord was God, he became man. That which we also celebrate here in the altar on the holy sacrifice of the Mass, that tells us everything. And yet, he who had no concupiscence, no disorder of his passions like you and I have, in order to show us how to conquer the temptations of Satan, allowed his primordial enemy, that serpent, that messed up all of creation, all of history, to approach him and to tempt him, to mock him. If you are really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Because in his human nature, which was really a human nature, not a fake human nature, we are not docetists. We believe that Jesus Christ indeed took on a full human nature, a body and a soul, from the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so he was hungry 40 days and 40 nights. And he rebukes him with the same word that he has quoted. And then he takes him up to the parapet of the temple, the same parapet from which St. James the Lesser was to be cast off. The greater, excuse me. The lesser was beheaded. And there said to him another one of his temptations. If you are the Son of God, he infers. And we have just heard the cantor sing beautifully Psalm 90, which the devil quotes. It is written that the Lord will put his angels about thee to lift thee up, lest thou shalt even dash thy foot against a stone. Not even that will he permit. So if thou art really the Son of God, then throw thyself off this parapet and see what happens. The angels will appear and lift thee up. Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. And finally, he becomes really bold and brazen. He's totally confused, mesmerized by this one who has such power. Most people that he tempts fall like that, beginning with Eve and then Adam. Shows him all the kingdoms of this world. He is the prince of this world, Satan. This world belongs to him now, for a time. Even though Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is a creator and the Lord of this world too. But for a time, he is allowed to roam. As St. Peter, the first pope, says, roams through the night like a lion seeking souls to devour. That's the devil. And it's your souls he's after. And mine. You know, sometimes while I'm consecrated the Eucharist, he will whisper in my ear, you don't really believe that that's the Son of God, do you? You don't really believe that you can do this. This is nonsense. You can't tell, can you? But I command him in the name of Jesus Christ to be cast back into hell where he belongs. And so he tells him, all this will be yours if you worship me. And you know, that is exactly what he does to us. You know, we have so many people in power today, especially in this country, but all over the world, Europe, South America, the Philippines, who are supposed to be Catholic. They're senators and congressmen and all kinds of secretaries of this, that, and the other. Like Pharisees adding burdens for others to lift, but they themselves will not lift a pea. And it is exactly what they are succumbing to. They make an exchange for these positions of power, for all the money and all the benefits that they get, more than you and I will ever see, by not doing the will of God, by not following the commandments. And this is most evident, particularly in the struggle for life that we are undergoing today. It is most evident also in the struggle that we are still enduring and will endure and very likely will lose for a time about the sanctity of matrimony, of holy matrimony. And God knows what that will bring for all of us, especially priests. If courts can make bakers and decorators and hotel keepers to succumb to these things, what will they try to do to us? The dungeon is very likely for us, and is not that far away. But they have done exactly what Satan wanted Jesus to do. If you want all these things, then you must worship me. And how many times in your own lives do you not worship Satan by giving in to many, many things that you should not give in to in your lives? This is the time, the acceptable time, the time of salvation, says St. Paul, to make it right. To change what you have done. To transform yourselves by the grace of Christ through confession, which we do not use nearly enough. And finally, our Lord has had enough of it, as we should have enough of it. He says, "Be gone, Satan! It is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou adore, shalt thou serve." This same Satan who was cast out of heaven by St. Michael and the legions of heaven because he refused to worship the Son of God made man. And now, by the Son of God made man in the desert who allowed him to approach out of humility and love for us, not for him, now he is telling him, again, after eons and eons since that sin in heaven, which we can never understand, but that will never happen again, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. In other words, himself, Jesus Christ, true God, true man, but yet one divine person, the second person of the Trinity. So, do not let the graces that the Church affords you be lost. Stop wasting your time. No one knows, And that is not the only reason we have, but a little fear goes a long way. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. But no one knows when our day, when our hour, when our moment will come. It could be right now. I could walk off this pulpit and drop dead. And that would be very fine with me. For I hope to die on the altar. But are we prepared? Are you prepared? Only you can answer that. I can see a lot of things, but I'm not going to point out your sins to you, to yourself, or to others, unless you're in the box with me. I know, and some of you go here and there thinking that I don't know anything. I know. You can't fool me. Are you prepared? And you know the answer to that. Don't waste the grace that God has given you. And use every single moment that you have to give worship and honor to God. It is Him, our Lord, our God, that we worship. And Him alone that we serve. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.